Chapter 25. Which Gospel? Opening questions. What does gospel mean? Who should we go to in order to understand the gospel of Joshua of Nazareth, Joshua or other people? If something is false, how good can it be? If something is popular or widely accepted, does that prove or mean that it is true? What is the true gospel as given by the real historical person of Joshua of Nazareth, as his words and teachings were recorded in the four gospel books? Okay, we have clearly and thoroughly addressed the main error of Christian Biblians. Let us move on and take a closer look at what the Christians call the gospel, or the central message of the Christian religion. We will take a look at what is believed by most to be the central or core message of Christianity, given by perhaps the most popular and successful modern proclaimer of that message in recent memory, Billy Graham. The following material is taken directly from the late Mr. Graham's website here at billygraham.org. Quote, "How to Know Jesus. In four brief steps, you can come into an understanding of how to find eternal life." During Billy Graham's landmark 1954 London Crusade, his team developed a simple system to bring people to faith known as the Steps to Peace with God. Since that time, and in various printed and electronic forms, this succinct and clear presentation of how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and experience peace with God has been translated into dozens of languages and shared with millions of people. Steps to Peace with God is the natural overflow of the gospel message Billy Graham has given around the world. It clearly conveys God's love, forgiveness, and plan for each person's life. End of quote. So, to sum up, Billy Graham's team is going to provide people with steps to peace with God as well as the plan for each person's life, quote unquote. He goes on to list what he believes are the four steps that will get people into heaven or peace with God. The source quoted as the authority to validate that the steps are real and right is, quote, the Bible, unquote. Out of the 15 quotes from the implied standard, the Bible, only 2 or 13% are from Joshua of Nazareth. So, while the Christians claim to represent Joshua of Nazareth, or who they call Jesus Christ, they in fact do not look to him for the core of their beliefs or their gospel or good news. They do this because Joshua does not teach their gospel, as we shall see. And what do they provide as, quote, the plan for each person's life, unquote? It appears to be, quote, join a religious organization, otherwise known as a church, unquote. That is a very deficient, shallow, and narrow plan for anyone's life, since church going accounts for less than 5% of people's waking hours and generally does not affect the way one lives for the other 95% of their life. Let's take a look at Christianity's core message as given by Billy Graham's organization. Step one of the popular version of the Christian gospel is entitled God's Purpose, Peace, and Life. Please note that while Joshua of Nazareth does want his followers to experience peace, he does not state anywhere that it is the designer's primary purpose for people. Here is an illustration to help you understand. There once was a family trapped under a house after a tornado, except for one child, a son. The dad says to his son, "Son, go find help to get us out of here." So the boy goes looking for help. Of course, the dad would like his son to be safe and not be afraid while he searches for help, but his safety in traveling and managing his fear are not the primary purpose the boy was given. Rather, it was to find help to rescue the family. In like manner, God's primary purpose is not for people to have peace, a good life on the earth, and heaven at the end. Therefore, this claim from Mr. Graham is only partly true and is falsely represented in its context. God does want us to have inner peace with him as the source. A good life on this earth is represented by Joshua and is not an easy life as Christians portray. In fact, there was no better life lived than Joshua of Nazareth, and he was killed when he was about 33 years old for it. Step two of the Christian gospel is entitled The Problem, Our Separation. Paul and the Hebrew scripture are used as the basis for this belief instead of Joshua of Nazareth. the basic teaching is because we sin, God is angry with us and will result, and as a result, will not give us heaven unless a sacrifice is paid to him so that he might forgive us. This is false. As we have seen, we as human beings are naturally captured by our self-pride, fear, and selfishness, part of our nature which produces most sins, which prevents us from turning to any person who could help us. This is the true cause of our separation from our Creator. While adult humans have self-pride, fear, and selfishness ruling their person and are thus in a state of captivity, and while human adults remain captive if they do not turn to the freedom giver in faith, the fact is that God is not angry with people. Christianity's God of wrath and vengeance and punisher, who demands that his innocent son be horribly killed as a sacrifice to appease his wrath, is a terribly wrong characterization of our Heavenly Father and is very effective in keeping people away from him. Step 3 of the Christian Gospel is entitled God's Bridge, the Cross. Again, no quotes from Joshua of Nazareth to justify or back up the content behind the step. This step says that Jesus Christ was the sacrifice God needed in order to forgive people. It states that God required that his innocent son be sacrificed on the cross to pay for the sins of the guilty sons and daughters so that God could forgive people and give free tickets to heaven to all who believe that religious doctrine. Please note how they make the instrument of his death central to their gospel, the cross, instead of the person of Joshua himself. This belief is grossly wrong. God did not punish his son by having him killed in order to somehow be able to forgive the wrongdoings of the guilty sons and daughters. Rather, God forgives each individual who comes to him with a sincere and contrite heart and asks for forgiveness. Step 4 of the Christian Gospel is entitled Our Response, Receive Christ. Again, no direct quotes from Joshua of Nazareth to support the content associated with the step. This step is a clever sleight of hand that contains truth, yet only enough truth to psychologically entice and manipulate people. Whatever receive Christ means, what we can be absolutely sure it does not mean is to make the real historical person of Joshua of Nazareth the leader and master of our life and thus live according to his teachings as they were recorded in the four gospel books. Instead, their receive Christ saying is merely some empty words, an incantation of sorts, that leads people to believe that by saying the words and participating in religious organizations, they get to go to heaven. They even provide the words of the incantation, what they call a prayer, for people to read off the website. Billy Graham and the many who seek to emulate him or be Christian evangelists have one thing in common. They do not use the teachings of the historical Joshua of Nazareth as the basis of their gospel. Or if they do quote Joshua, his words and teachings will be a minority of their gospel. In this case, only 13% on Mr. Graham's website, not supporting their key principles, or they will be taken out of context or twisted to conform to Christianity's gospel. So to sum up the Christian gospel, it is to believe stuff about God and how to know what God wants that the Christian leadership says is important, and if you do that, you will go to heaven. In general, the only actual behavior requirement stated by the Christian leaders in their gospel is to attend and support or give money to their religious organizations, which they call the church, partake in their rituals, and to abstain from doing grossly bad things. Of course, some will take issue with using Mr. Graham's version of the gospel, and this is to be expected since Christianity is made up of competitive sects or divisions, thousands of them, by some accounts, tens of thousands of them. Nevertheless, Mr. Graham's version of the gospel is representative of what most Christians believe. All one has to do is a bit of research on the internet of various Christian organizations' quote, statements of beliefs to validate this claim. So here's the false gospel of Christianity. Let us restate in a clear, detailed fashion Christianity's gospel. And here it is. God sent his son to die on the cross to pay for our sins, so if we just believe the stuff about the Jesus Christ and God our religious leaders teach us from the Bible, we will go to heaven when we die. that God, being a God of wrath, anger, and vengeance some of the time, decided to have his beloved son, which innocent son loved and honored him and obeyed him, tortured and killed as a blood sacrifice in order to sate or propitiate his wrath and anger against people for people's wrongdoings and for punishment and atonement for the wrongdoings of other people who did not love or honor or obey this God. The Bible God will not forgive people unless he gets payment to do so. Thus, by definition, he never forgives people, for true forgiveness does not require payment. And the payment he selected was the torturing and killing of his beloved and innocent son who honored him and obeyed him. Now, this schizophrenic God has good moments too, and on those good days he loves us and wants us to put our faith in him, even though on his bad days he has his innocent, perfect, honoring, and obedient son tortured and killed in a fit of anger about the wrongdoings of guilty sons and daughters, as well as having many thousands of, quote, women, children, and babies killed. See 1 Samuel 15, 1-3. Nothing significant has to change in your life pattern. You can stay exactly how you are and continue to live and work for money or the other things you love in this world, and you don't have to truly love anyone. We only ask that if you have any major outward sins, you must hide them so they don't disturb other members of the organization or reveal the falseness and lovelessness and powerlessness of our religion. Finally, if you believe the things about the Bible God the religious leaders tell us, and you do the things the religious leaders tell us but are usually unwilling to do themselves, and you go to church and support the religious leaders with your money, you will go to heaven when you die. That, dear listener, is essentially the Christian gospel in a nutshell. Now, what's the true good news of the light of the world? Let us now contrast the above false gospel of Christianity with the real, truly good news the Creator's messenger gave. Here it is in a nutshell. We need to see our condition of captivity, have remorse over our wrongdoings, which are evidence of our captivity, and in order to escape, place our faith in Joshua or Jesus of Nazareth as he reveals himself and our Father through his own words in the four gospel books, and thus be set free from our cage of self-pride and fear and selfishness. Make Joshua the leader of my life, not of your religious time or your church life. Stop living for the things of this world values, particularly money, and with this newfound freedom and purpose, change ourselves to go and make change in people's lives where we can by introducing them to the freedom giver and our Father, and by living out love with them and speaking that which is true and doing that which is right according to Joshua. So that's the gospel in a nutshell. Following Joshua is the primary life endeavor and passion. Quote, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to, quote, serve God. It's not a part-time religious hobby which the counterfeit of Christianity offers. If we do this, we will be set free and we will enter into eternal life in this life. And if we stay faithful, we will enter into the fullness of eternal life after our body dies. So here's the gospel of Joshua of Nazareth again. Joshua quoted from the beloved Hebrew prophet Isaiah about his mission because Isaiah provided a saying that hit the core of his mission, and he knew the Jewish listeners would pay more attention since they venerated their prophet Isaiah. So he said, quote, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, unquote. That's Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. Joshua later said it this way, quote, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, unquote. That's John 8, end quote. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many, unquote. That's Mark 10. Please note, the most important part of his good news is that he will set us free. Also, please note that the real true gospel of the freedom giver has nothing to do with blood sacrifice. As I've been saying throughout the book, we human beings place ourselves in a cage during our adolescent years. We transition from innocence to guiltiness. Our conscience becomes fully formed and thus informs us that what we are doing is wrong, and we have to willingly, at some level, ignore or push away the voice of our conscience. That is the evidence of walking into our cage of darkness, locking the door and throwing away the key. Our self-pride and fear and selfishness, the root level sins of our nature, form our cage and keep it locked. Our cage and our unwillingness to look for a way out will ultimately destroy us. We cannot escape that cage without help. We cannot be set free from that condition without a freedom giver greater than ourselves. The freedom giver's good news is that we don't have to stay in our cage and thus forfeit our existence. We don't have to destroy ourselves and forfeit our true life. We don't have to lose ones we love. We can have a compelling, meaningful, and beautiful purpose to our lives on the earth. God, the designer and creator of human beings, exists. This God can be known, and his will for us can be known. The best way to know this God and what he wants is by looking to his Son, as his life, words, and deeds were recorded in the four gospel books that were placed at the beginning of what people call the New Testament. To truly know God is how one attains to eternal life. See John 17:3. A better, enduring life that is entered into after one's body dies. The good news is that the Son of Man did the following for us. First, he paid a ransom for us to set us free from our self-made cage of self-pride, fear, and selfishness. And he invites us to take advantage of that ransom and offer of freedom through faith in him and the Father he reveals. He taught us right versus wrong and how to treat other people. He showed us what real love is and how to live it out. He will give us a new life and a new family that really loves us if we and others are willing to listen to him and do what he says. He has and will continue to show us the way home to our Father by helping us change and leading us into the fullness of eternal life. The light teaches that our Father will forgive us for all our wrongs if we see our guilt, the worst wrong we have committed being ignoring him and his messenger or playing the religious game as a substitute, and ask him to forgive us with a sincere and remorseful heart. He does not need, want, or require some weird blood sacrifice to forgive us. If we will turn to our Father in faith during our time of remorse and to his appointed leader of mankind, Joshua of Nazareth, then we will be born from above, enter into life, and start the most amazing journey any human being can undertake. This journey is very difficult, but anyone can make it if they have a little bit of faith and love. While the journey is difficult, it is the best, most meaningful, and fulfilling journey human beings are called to enter into by our Creator. This is the sure hope of the good news of Joshua of Nazareth. Let us continue to contrast Joshua's gospel to the Christian gospel from a different perspective to provide additional insight to this extremely important matter. The Christian gospel, I will tag, and then I'll follow up with what Joshua teaches. So the Christian gospel says, believe what the Christian leaders say, both dead and living, especially Paul, about God and their understanding of the Bible, a schizophrenic God who acts in love part of the time and in wrath and vengeance the other part of the time, and who sends people to eternal torment in hell, versus what Joshua teaches, which is, believe what Joshua says and place your faith in him and the Father he reveals by his own words in the four gospel books, a Father who truly loves you and demonstrated that love by sending his Son to save us from ourselves, to set us free from our cage, a God who is not a God of wrath and vengeance, who does not send people to an eternal torment in hell. Christians say, believe stuff about Christ to go to heaven with virtually no consequences on why or how you live your life, including remaining popular with most people, versus what Joshua actually teaches, which is, place your faith in the light and make him the leader of your life with radical consequences on why you live your life and significant consequences on how you live your life, including being rejected by most people. Christianity teaches, go to a religious organization that people call the church, support the religious organization and its work, partake in the rituals at the church. The religious organization's work is primarily to build a building for the people to meet in, to hear their leaders talk about God, and have programs that the people enjoy, and to build more organizations and buildings for the same sect. This work is secondary or tertiary for 95% or more of the people who merely give money to accomplish it, while all of the people's primary work is making money for themselves in regular secular careers, quote-unquote, or secular jobs, in order to be comfortable in this world just like the rest of the population of the planet. In contrast, Joshua teaches, live out the new command with other disciples, truly loving and caring for each other, thus sharing his life together and doing his work together. God's work is to bring the leader in his truth and love and spiritual healing and thus life to other human beings and to help them do the same for others. This life and work is the primary work for close to 100 of the people or flock or family of Joshua. Christianity teaches, do not do bad things. In other words, don't hurt yourself or other people when unjustified. In contrast, Joshua says, live out the new command of loving one another is primary as is lived out by helping one another and others in daily life. Christianity teaches, do these things, that is religious rituals, belief, remembrance, and abstention from gross sins of commission, and you will enter into heaven. Joshua teaches, do these things, actually love other people, and care about what is true and right, and thus be a model and a change agent in this world, and you shall live, and that life will not end with the death of your body, and all the love you tried to express to others in your life will remain and grow in the next. This contrast should be used to understand the very important concept of faith versus belief, and the concept of placing one's faith in the correct thing. What is the end result of these two gospels? For those who choose Christianity's gospel, its end result is the successful failure that covers the earth at this time, as well as individual self-condemnation for those who participate in it. That which calls itself the church is really nothing more than a religious social club that is built on Paul or the Hebrew Scriptures author's teachings. It is a group of people that feed themselves and is judged as successful by its own members and the world of which they are a part, based on if the organization gives them what they want, which things like nice music, good moral or emotionally touching messages, good children's programs, assurance of heaven, etc. The amount of money it controls, and through that, and what money can buy, and the number of people it controls or influences. Again, that's a summary of the successful failure that is Christianity. For those who choose Joshua's good news, the result is a meaningful life, a life truly well-lived, an exceptional life, and a difficult life with the same pattern of treatment or reception that Joshua received while on the earth. In the next chapter, we will look at the great ritual that Christians substitute for actually following Joshua. Chapter summary. The gospel of the Christians is not the good news that Joshua of Nazareth taught. The Christian gospel is a clever mix of truth with falsehoods which might result in a person sincerely coming to faith in God, but which faith will be in the God created by the Christians. If the individual who actually entered into faith clings to Joshua and starts to learn from him, he or she will be rejected by the religious people, and normally only one of two outcomes will result. Either their faith will die, or their faith will grow and they will leave the religious system and speak against it, just like Joshua did some 2,000 years ago. The Christian gospel's good news is about as good as free hamburgers at McDonald's, a very popular offer of something free which is not substantive, does not address the real problems, will not lead to a truly healthy, well-lived life, and will not lead us to eternal life. The Christian gospel in a nutshell is, believe this stuff about God and you will go to heaven. The true gospel of the light is, let me set you free, have faith in me, turn from a wasted or selfish life and do my work, the most important of which is speaking truth and practicing love. And so by doing, you will both enter into life everlasting and change the lives for the betterment of the people around you. See Appendix 8, Forgiveness and Blood Sacrifice, for more information.